So this is Nectar Devotion. We're in chapter 8 now. And here there are 32 seva aparads that are to be, say, be aware of. Offenses in serving the Lord, and we should not make these offenses, obviously. There's a Sanskrit verse in Nectar Devotion. Rupa Goswami writes about this. 32 offenses. So the verse that he writes is verse... This is considered the 19th of the 64 limbs of devotion. This is number 19. And there's a whole chapter describing it. Seva nam aparadanam varjanam. Mamarchana paradye. Amarchana paradaye. Kirtyante vasudemaya. Vaishnavena. Vaishnavena sadate tu. Varjaniya priyatnata. This is avoidance of all offenses in regard to seva, or service, and nam, or chanting of the name of the Lord. So he's talking here that we should be very careful to avoid nam aparad and seva aparad. So Jiva Goswami, in his purport, he describes the various seva aparads or offenses in archan according to the agamas. Agamas are some Vedic literatures which have any rules and regulations. So the spiritual master is supposed to teach the agamas, all the different limbs of sadhana, to the disciple. So all those different, these are part of those do's and don'ts that we have to follow, because we may not know about these things ordinarily by our culture or upbringing. Some people born in India, they automatically know about these things. But there's a whole long list here. One should not enter the temple of the deity in a car or palanquin or with shoes on the feet. These are pretty basic. Don't wear a fur blanket. Don't pass urine in a temple. Some of them are pretty obvious. In Vishnu's commentaries, he says that we should give up all offenses in regard to the Nam, the holy name, and Seva. One should be very attentive to avoid committing Seva Parads in Archan, or worshipping the Lord, in relationship to deity worship, and Nam Aparads in relation to bhakti in general. There are 32 kinds of Seva Aparads, and there are 10 kinds of Nam Aparad, such as blaspheming of devotees or disrespect of the spiritual master. Offenses of these kinds should be certainly avoided. So then these offenses are elaborately described. So that's what they do here in Nectar Devotion. All the 32 offenses are described. First they're listed and then they're described. So I think we'll just skip over to the description part. It's chapter 8. So this is the 19th item of sadhana bhakti, is a sole subject of chapter 8. Seva nam aparad varjanam. One must carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name and in worshipping the deity. Rupa Goswami makes an important point about seva aparad by citing Padma Puran. One should not allow himself to become neglectful in deity worship, thinking that the holy name will deliver him from his offenses. Chanting the holy name will deliver one from all offenses, especially in seva aparad. But if one willfully employs the name in this way, he offends the name and neutralizes its effect. An offender to the holy name has no chance of deliverance. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the introduction, there are two categories of activities, pravritti and nivritti, positive and negative actions. Avoiding offenses is an example of nivritti, negation of activities that hinder our proper meditation. So there's different offenses listed here, and sometimes they're a little tricky. Like it says, one should not offer respects to anyone in front of the deities. So one spiritual master may come into the temple while the deities are giving darshan, then the disciple becomes bewildered what to do. Should I or should I not? Should I go down or up or down? Pay obeisances, but Krishna's here. And so he describes that Out of regard for the deity, we may choose to praise the spiritual master in our minds, like mental dandabats. Perhaps with discreet gestures of respect, we may fold our hands and just bow our head without lying on the floor. Or we may choose to openly praise him as the Lord's servant for the deity's pleasure. In other words, sometimes Prabhupada would come into the temple and it says we're not supposed to show respect to anyone else in front of the deities. But it says here that when Prabhupada would come into the temple, sometimes it would always say, all glories to the pure devotee of Krishna. In the early days, he would come in for class. So that's paying some attention to someone in front of the deities. But that is not considered offensive, to glorify the Lord's pure devotee, even in front of the Lord. It's common sense in one way, just like if you glorify the Son in front of the Father certainly will be happy. He won't be unhappy. So it's not an offense, because it's being done for the deity's pleasure. The essential thing is to glorify Krishna, no one else. One can directly glorify Krishna or can indirectly glorify him by glorifying a servant. So there are other injunctions in this list of what not to do. And one of those things is not to bathe the feet of the guru in front of the deities. So that's generally not done. Sometimes it's done, but it can be done in another place, or it can even be done to the side of the temple. So rather than going through chapter 8 by listing the 32 seva aparadhas, we'll go follow up to chapter 9, which will present these different seva aparadhas in a natural detail, because that's how it is. We'll read the seva aparadhas, and if there's any questions, we can try to elucidate what it's all about. So one should not enter the temple of the deity in a car. Don't drive it. It's not a drive-in temple, like a drive-in movie theater. Or in a palanquin, or with shoes on the feet. One should not fail to observe various festivals for the pleasure of the Lord, such as Janmashtami and Rath Yatra. One should not avoid bowing down before the deity. Sometimes you see in Bombay, in Juhu Beach, at Radharasa Vihari, the people go jogging on the beach. So they jog on the beach, and then they jog into the temple, and they jog in front of the deities, and they jog out of the temple and go back to the beach. It's called keeping their step. They come in like this, with their running shorts on and their t-shirt, and they come in front of Gaur Nitai, and they keep going like this, and they come in front of Ras Bihari, in front of each parakosh, each compartment, and they jog their way out. They never have time to bow their head or what to speak of, offer of some kind of dandavats or obeisances. So this is an offense. It's not a very proper show of respect. One should not avoid bowing down before the deity. One should not enter the temple to worship Krishna without having washed one's hands and feet after eating. One should not enter the temple in a contaminated state. That has something to do when someone dies in your family, you have to wait so many days before you go to the temple. And ladies, of course. One should not bow down on one hand. This is a very common practice, a common mistake we see with the devotees, that they're busy chanting 3 lakhs a day or whatever, so many rounds a day, or maybe only 16. But they can't get their hand out of their bead bag for one reason or another. So they bow down and they go like this. I see the Bengalis too. They go down with one hand, they hold one hand like this to keep their bead bag off the floor. They hold it up like this. But it's better that you take the bead bag off and hang it on a nail and do full dandavats. You see a lot of sadhus, they put the bead bag behind their neck, on their back. You know, they put it, so when they lie down, it's on their back and they offer full dandavats. So like this, a two-hand service, hands-on obeisances should be done. We should be careful about this, these small details. This is recommended. These are from Agamas. Rupa Goswami has collected these. And so the whole idea is everywhere it says deity, deity, deity. Because these are seva aparadhas and archan, and worshipping the deity. Somehow Krishna wants to see us performing things in a proper way. For example, innate within a sarup are all the 64 arts. If someone has Manjari sarup, for example, in their staiba, their eternal spiritual body, it will have all the artistic abilities, singing, dancing, making flower garlands. All these things are contained within the sarup. They don't have to be given by some outside source. They actually can be realized, all these abilities. So, and you can see there in this description of the 64 arts how precise and how exact things are done in the spiritual world. So for the pleasure of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, we should do things in a certain way. We don't come running into the temple with our dirty track shoes, and we don't come in our palanquin like some and some big. And maybe what this means to say, what this is saying is that who rides around in palanquins? Highly cultured people, rich people, kings. You see in Puri, the Gajapati Raj, the king of Puri, so-and-so, Singh, whatever his name is, he comes out of his palace and goes to the Rath Yatra, to the cart, and he rides in a white palanquin, and they have a white umbrella over his head because that's a symbol of royalty, a very large white umbrella. And he's sitting there cross-legged, because palanquins aren't very big, but he's sitting cross-legged, and he has folded hands, and he's giving darshan, because he's the king, so he's giving darshan. If it was a chaste, cultured lady from the higher rungs of society, all the curtains would be closed, and no one would see her face. Prabhupada explained in one tape that when his mother, in the 1800s, when his mother was going next door to visit her girlfriend, she would go in a palanquin. Because Prabhupada was coming in the Muluk's family, and the Muluk is the equivalent of Rothschilds or Rockefellers, extremely wealthy family, millionaire family, and they were Prabhupada's relatives, cousins, and their house is right near theirs. Although Prabhupada's house is rather simple and plain, but Muluk's is quite a mansion in those days. So they had close relations. So his mother would go to visit the Muluk's in a palanquin, so that no one could see her. Even princesses in Rajasthan, when they used to move from here and there, they would go on a palanquin, because a chaste lady, the sun is never supposed to see Mr. Surya, the sun is never supposed to see the face of a chaste lady. So if she goes outside, then the sunshine will shine on her face. So the palanquin would be, she would get in the palanquin in her living room, they'd close the curtains, she would be carried outside by the pallbearers, or whatever they call them, palanquin bearers, go inside to the living room to the other house and step out of her little palanquin. So the sun would never throw his light on her face. Extraordinary culture. So these rules from Agamas come from the Agamas are ancient Vedic scriptures. So they're saying one should not enter the temple of the deity in a palanquin, because queens and princesses also go to take darshan of the deities. So the Agamas are saying, queen, you have to get out of your palanquin and be like a normal person, which means they have to go at night or when the sun isn't shining for darshan, or if they go with their husbands and the company of their husbands, then they can go in the daytime. But the rules for the Lord are, in other words, everyone has to get down, mister. Bow down, mister. You have to become humble. Give up, park your car at the curb. Everybody else's palace, you can drive right in your car. Right in your elephant carrier, you can drive right into the palace or your palanquin. But in my palace, this is my palace, Nam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, you have to park your palanquin at the door and walk in barefoot. So this is what this is all about. One should not circumambulate in front of Sri Krishna. The process of circumambulating the temple is that one should begin from the deity's right-hand side of the temple and come around. Such circumambulation shall be performed outside the structure, temple structure, at least 3 times. So we've commented on this before, but now it's becoming official, being recorded. And Jiva Goswami's commentary, he said, this means circumambulating means just going in a circle in front of the deity, which some people often do. They turn in circles. You see, when you live in India for a while, you'll see people doing all kinds of far-out things. They offer dandavats and cross one ankle over the other ankle. You ever see that? They did a thing like, and I've asked many people, and then people can't give any explanation for that. It's just a custom habit. Or grandma did it, my father did it, my grandma did it. And it's like the story of the Brahmin who went to the Ganges to bathe, and he came out and he couldn't figure out which was his Achman cup or something. So then, but he's a very big Brahmin, so one day he took a small rock, because every Brahmin goes down to the Ganges with his Achman cup. So one day he took a small rock and he put it in the bottom of his Achman cup so he could tell that this is my Achman cup, so he wouldn't get his... And he put his clothes, folded his clothes up, put the Achman cup on his clothes and took his bath. And there were thousands of Brahmins. So this way, when he came out, these are my clothes and I won't get the wrong clothes. And so then other Brahmins who were just imitating, they came and they said, oh, this big Chaturvedi, he's put this stone inside his cup. This must be some tantric thing. That if you have a stone inside your cup, then when you do Achman, you get more power. And when you chant mantras with this water, it must be special stone water, Shila water, which gives special power when you chant mantras. So everybody went to the Ganges, got a stone, and put it in their cup. So then when he came out, oh my God, he couldn't figure out which was his. So this became an imitation, and no one knows why. It's like the wedding with the cat in the basket. Prabhupada tells that story. You know that story? Well, there was once a wedding, and there was a cat meowing during the chanting of the mantras. Wow, 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 wow. And it was disturbing the brahmanas, just like, you know, cell phones during class. And the cat was, you know, this Prabhupada tells on tape, wow, wow, wow. So then someone said, oh, put that cat in a basket. So they put the cat in a straw basket, and so it would muffled the sound of his rawr, rawr, couldn't hear it anymore. So now this girl, she was getting married, and she saw the cat was meowing, and they put it in a basket. Now she, she grew up. I mean, this girl got married, and then she had children. Then when her daughter was getting married, she said, oh, when you get married, Radhe Radhe, you have to put a cat in a basket. This is part of the marriage ritual. So then, taxes. Like the cat in the basket or the imitation. They don't know why or someone's doing something. All the Brahmins just imitated that big Brahmin. They didn't know why he was doing it. They had the wrong idea. And then when the daughter grew up, when the lady grew up and had children, she advised her daughter to put a cat in a basket. She thought, she didn't know any. She said, well, this is what I had in my marriage, so you should have your marriage. And when she had children, she told them. So this crossing the ankles, or people do other different, they spin around in front of the deities. Or like I watch people at Radhakund, some people do puja, and the person, he takes some water, and it's called tarpan. Is it all right, bona fide thing? He takes a water pot, and he stands on the bank facing the sun, an eastern sun, and he offers water to the Radhakund with some prayers. That's all right, no problem. But I see one person, when he stands there, and he stands like, one foot's flat on the ground and the other foot he rises onto his toes. You understand? One foot is like this. And he's also doing the same action, but he has his own style. I'm bathing and I'm watching him. I said, oh, that's an interesting style. And why does he do that? And if you ask him, he'll say, oh, my father did it this way or this. So, these kind of funny things we see. But anyway, these are rules that we should consider. So this circumambulating rule is kind of important. Jiva Goswami explains, it says that we should only circumambulate when the deity is giving darshan. So before Mangalarti, Krishna's resting and eating his Balya Bhog. It's Mangalarti sweets, is what we say. In Sanskrit, it's called Balya Bhog, I believe. After lunch, he's sleeping. At night, he's in rasa dance and with different pastimes, the gopis. So if you go in the temple and the doors aren't open and you can't see Krishna, then you should not go do circumambulation. It's a nice exercise. It's a good walk before Mangala Arati to get up at 2 a.m. and zip around the temple. You know, and zip around in your, you know, shoes many times. They wear their Adidas or whatever, Pumas or whatever. It's a good walk. It's, you know, 5 kilometers. It's a good walk, 16 rounds. And you think, oh, I'm circumambulating Adidas. It's great. And you're doing wonderful. You're just digging your own grave. You're offending the Lord in a royal way. Imagine, you're in your room, you're sleeping in your house, and someone starts, it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, someone starts running around your house. Because that's what it sounds like if you're in the house. Especially if you're like one of these new boxes, it chants like it because his mind is crazy. So, you know, like super loud. I spent 3 kartiks, bratas, in Prabhupada's rooms, which means you live in the kitchen, which is right next to the Parikrama Marg. Everyone goes through the door. I mean, so in kartik, lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of people circumambulate Radha Damodar Temple all day and night, except one of these times because the Pujari would close the doors. People want to go around because that's their niyam. They want to finish their 4 times and get out and do their other things and their ghee lamps. And he would yell all the time, this old Pujari, Jagannath Das, he would yell, hey! And then people would go around sometimes. They'd sneak around through one side because he hadn't locked the doors. He would lock the other door by the Prabhupada's kitchen. You know, there's 2 doors. And then they start pounding on the door. And then the door, my screens, my windows are open, my wooden doors to my window, lattice, you know, those wooden doors to Prabhupada's kitchen windows. So I'm in there chanting or reading, hey, Baba, open the door. Baba, open the door. And so I'm caught in a bind because the Baba is trying to, the Pujari is trying to punish them for making the offense of circumambulating the temple during the Bhog offering. So he's locked the door. So they're trapped in there. They can't make their 4 times round. And, they, you know, they're stuck. And they're all collected outside Prabhupada's kitchen window, and they're all looking in the window. Hey, I'm crazy. Hey, I'm crazy, Baba. So in Kartik, I used to keep the doors closed. Because I didn't want to open the door, because I wanted them to get the message that the Pujari was trying to tell them, that you're not allowed to circumambulate when the Lord's not giving darshan, Baba. And there's all these devout Bengali ladies and devout Brijbasi ladies and Brahmins and high class people. He would just jam that door. And then finally he'd open and he'd yell at you this, that. He would just berate them like anything. Why are you stuck through the other way? And sometimes he would latch the door and forget to open, and the ladies would open it on one side and run around. It was a very funny experience. So Jiva Goswami, that's why he was so adamant, because Jiva Goswami is the one that gave the tikkas of these things and explanations. He's the one that says that circumambulation means for the pleasure of the Lord. So I'm not pleased when I'm trying to sleep, you're making a bunch of noise outside my window. Hey, Radharani, who is that? I don't know, every 3 minutes there's somebody going by the window. Who is it? What are they doing? I know. It's not pleasing to the Lord. Just we think it's pleasing to the Lord, it's not. Then this thing doing this little circle things in front of, like we see, people go around, you know, 500 times around in front of the deities, and this is not pleasing to the Lord. This is called circumambulating in front of the Lord, and this is an offense. We're supposed to start on the right hand side and go around, like, you know, like we do. Everyone, we all know. But there's some details that many devotees may not know, and I'll repeat them. Jiva Goswami explains that we should never, it is a big offense to circumambulate the deities when the deities are not giving darshan. Before Mangalartik, after evening time when the deities take rest, when they're taking bhoga, and after whenever they're taking bhoga and the curtains or doors are closed. Whenever the doors are closed, it's simple. If you come in a temple and you can't see Krishna, then relax. Don't circumambulate the temple building. And then the other thing that Rupa says, that the process of circumambulating a temple is that one should, such circumambulation should be performed outside the temple structure at least 3 times. So many devotees, they go 3 times around the temple, but actually they should go 4. All the Vaishnavas go, at least 3 means 4. So we always try to go on the lesser side of things. Oh, 16 rounds? Okay, I reached 16? Okay, stop. Well, 16 probably says the minimum. That's just getting to get your car. I mean, that's the push start. One pushing, you push the car, the old car, to get it started. But then you have 5 speeds, right? So pushing the car to get it started, that's 16 rounds. First gear is 32 rounds. Second gear is 64 rounds. Third gear is 128. Fourth gear, you know, when you're in fifth gear, like, then you're cruising. You know what I mean? I mean, we're kind of like car people, so we know about these things, right? And my, like, when we learn something proper and correct, I'll just share my basic viewpoint on things. Is when we learn the actual fact that these are minor details of behavior, which are important until we become, like, liberated, then we can modify some things. But even then, if one is liberated and fully absorbed in Raghunuga Bhakti, one of the principles of following Raghunuga Bhakti is that one still follows Vaidhi Bhakti in order to teach example to others. That's an interesting point. Although we're not concerned with the rules and regulations because Rati has awakened, attachment for the Lord has awakened in a strong way, but still we follow the rules and regulations just to set the standard for others. Unless we're Bhajanandis. If we're Bhajanandis, living in our own kutir without any interfacing or interaction with others or in the public eye, then we can do our puja and our kopins. We can do, you know, whatever we want. But as soon as you're in a room where people are going to drop in, or you're living in a temple like Prabhupada's temple, then you have to follow a certain decorum to teach others, because others are ajata ruchi. Their ruchi, what to speak of rati, their ruchi is not ajata, means it's not born, ajanma, ajata ruchi. Their taste for nam or Krishna seva has not awakened, so they find any small discrepancy in the achar, then it blows their whole shraddha, their faith gets blown away. Because so if we're labeled or designated or assuming the role of a pracharak or a preacher. Pracharak or preacher means that we sit down with someone and tell them about Krishna. Then as soon as you start telling people about Krishna, that's prachar, then it has to be backed by achar. Otherwise you're not a follower of Rupa Goswami. You know, if you're Moni, or you're just absorbed Nirjan Bhajan, as soon as you start telling people about Krishna, then you have become a pracharak. So if there's prachar, there must be achar. If there's no prachar, then achar can be, you know, whatever you want. Do your puja at midnight, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, anytime. So this is the one should not sit before the deity holding ankles, elbows, or knees. Number 10, one should not lie down before the deity of Krishna. One should not accept prasad before the deity. And that's some elaboration is given later, but it says that we should not take full meals and in an enjoying spirit before the deity. The curtain should be closed, but to accept a small piece of what they call nirmalya, that there's no mal, there's pure food substance, such as a little bit of maha, piece of burfi, a tulsi leaf, a mala, chandan. All of these things we can accept, like mini meals, not really a meal, just a it's Mahaprasada. You give a donation and Pujari gives you a piece of para. So you don't have to wonder what to do with that. You simply you just honor that and Krishna will be very happy. So that has to be understood. Sometimes people get some Mahaprasada from the temples they visit and they put it in their pocket, they don't know what to do with it. But actually, Jiva Goswami says that Krishna is very happy when the devotees take a small bit of nirmalya before the Lord. 12. One should never speak a lie before the deity. Actually, we shouldn't speak a lie anywhere. Before the deity or behind the deity. But especially before the deity. One should not cry or howl before the deity. Oh! Let out some war whoops or something. Cherokee war whoops or something. Oh! But then someone might say, well, what about these Bengali ladies? When the kirtan's getting fired up or when they feel in a good mood, they go, oh, 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 you know, they make that, oh, oh, oh. That's considered to be very auspicious. And that comes from Gaur Lila. That is supposed to represent the crying of a peacock. When peacocks are excited about the moon coming, I mean the rain coming, then they sing, or they meow, or whatever they call it. and throughout the day, whenever they hear thunder or lightning, or even they heard a shotgun, and the peacocks hear a shotgun go off, and it sounds to them, to their ears, that it's, they can't discriminate. They don't know so much about shotguns. They think this must be a rainy season, and this is the indication of the rainy season. There's some thunder in the distance, so they get very happy, and they even maybe start dancing. But at least they make some sound. Oh, good. Oh, 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 oh. And they all start singing back and forth in the forest. The rains are coming. The rains are coming. One should not quarrel or fight before the deity. One should not chastise anyone before the deity. One should not be charitable to beggars before the deity. One should not speak very harshly to others before the deity. One should not wear a fur blanket before the deity. This is probably translated fur blanket. In other places, it says a coarse rug. Like sometimes sadhus, they get old pieces of blankets here and there, and they sew them together, kind of what we call in English a patchwork quilt. And this kind of heavy, raw, funky blanket is not supposed to be big. You're not supposed to carry that into the temple. In fact, many places it says when one is offering obeisances to the Lord, he should offer. It's an offense for a man to offer obeisances to the Lord with his upper portion of his body covered. When you go to South Indian temples, they make you take off your shirt or kurta. Shivangaji and Guruvayur. Guruvayur is a Krishna deity. Very beautiful. They say, off, you're standing in line, hey, offer the shirt. Of course, you see most of the men have no shirt. You have to take off your shirt because this is a Vedic regulation. Especially in Vishnu temples, they're really, really strict about all these rules and regulations. So therefore, it's not only should you go with no shirt at all or bare-chested for the men and offer obeisances to the Lord and appear before the Lord like that, but there's a prohibition of what you can wear. So you can't wear these kacha, rough patchwork blankets, that's what it says here.